Hello, and welcome to Pokédex Pathfinders, where we explore the Pokédex at a leisurely pace. I'm Ben.
And I'm Andy.
On today's episode, we talk about numbers 69, 70, and 71, the Bellsprout family.
And we rank our top three grass Pokémon on this week's fan-submitted hypothetical.
Let's get to it. Alright, we are starting off with number 69.
Nice.
It is Bellsprout. It is the flower Pokémon, which is shared with Vileplume. I think this is the first time we've had like a double up.
And I want to make a lame joke up top. We went from the superpower Pokemon to the flower Pokemon.
I was also thinking, which would be funnier, superpower Pokemon to the flower power Pokemon, or superpower Pokemon to super flower Pokemon?
I don't know, but either way, Pokemon does whiff sometimes. So, and we still can't get just a pure grass type.
So this is grass and poison type, and I literally wrote down, boy, they just love this combo.
God forbid. I mean, this one, it makes sense that it's poison, but we didn't need this many poison types to start.
This one, though, like you said, I think this is the one that has the most justification for being poison, and let's get into it. So I want to start biology off with kind of a series of questions.
Good, because I pretty much have one major thing to say, so hopefully you'll ask me. And
that'll
be my
answer.
Why
don't you say your major thing, and then I'll ask my many questions.
I don't want to blow this thing way out of the water, but this is a stick figure, but for a plant.
Speaking of stick figure, one of my favorite things about Bellsprout, if you draw like angry eyebrows on a Bellsprout at any time, it's automatically the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Perfect.
It's a stick figure, but it literally is a flower.
Yes.
I mean, it's the flower Pokemon, and it takes that quite seriously. And
it's taking its job seriously.
I'm going to rattle off some questions for you. Number one, given that it's a flower, and this is the most direct translation we've had to a flower, do you need to water a Bellsprout, or does it drink?
Oh, okay. Well, it can walk around, so I'd say if it wants a drink, it can get one. But it will probably expect one from you the same way animals expect certain things when they're your pet.
Would you pour it on top, or would you pour it into its mouth?
I think it's got to open up that mouth. I think it has to kind of arch its face up.
You have to baby bird the water into it. Can a Bellsprout photosynthesize?
Yes. Anything with grass-type cells is able to photosynthesize.
That kind of answers my next question. Is it animal cells, or is it plant cells, or are we still sticking with the it's grass and poison cells?
I think it's just easier from a Pokemon science standpoint to say these are grass cells and poison cells, because once we start getting all animal, we're going to real world. We're thinking too hard in the wrong direction.
Follow the Pokemon science.
Yeah, we need to go deeper into the real science here, the grass type cells.
If I leave a Bellsprout in a Pokeball for too long, is it going to wilt?
Oh, God. Well, I hope not, because that would have implications for any Pokemon. You would not be able to leave anything in its ball for too long, or it would starve, if that were the case.
All right, I'll give you that one.
Is there enough air in the Pokeball?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, no.
If a Bellsprout stands in one place long enough, will its feet eventually just root into the ground and it can't move?
Yes, definitely. This is a use it or lose it. You got to use those legs. Otherwise, you're just a regular flower again.
How much dexterity do you think that the leaves have?
Are
they just floppy leaves, or can a Bellsprout grab things with its leaves?
No, this whole line is very heavily featured in the anime, and this thing is limber. That's all I will say for now. This is a limber Pokemon. This thing can move.
All right, so the Crystal Pokedex says if it notices anything that moves, it immediately flings its vine at the object. And I was like, you mean its body?
Its entire body. No, it's vine. This is the 69 Pokemon. Come on.
Hey-o.
No, I guess it means one of its feet, and it just doesn't have a way to say it.
All right, first of all, if it notices anything that moves, it lives in a forest. It's going to be jumping all the time.
It is flailing at all times. Anytime Weedle walks by, Caterpie walks by, it's just going.
Is it body slamming in various directions with, like, the center vine of the stick figure, Or is, like, the body... is this, like, a Mr. Fantastic kind of situation? And it's, like, rubber shooting a vine, like, extendo out?
Yes, I'd like to think that this is a Fantastic Four situation, or Luffy from One Piece, same power. But yes, that it can fling itself at people.
All right, one more Pokedex one I want to share. There's actually a couple references to it traps and eats bugs.
Yes.
Yellow specifically states that it ensnares tiny insects. Bust out the tinfoil hats. We are back into the realm of real bugs.
Animals are back. Insects are here. I don't think that there's a single... No, Venomoth. I was going to say, I don't think there's a single true insect in this whole thing. There's a couple with six legs, I guess.
Venomoth, Venonat.
No, Venonat's just a guy. I've got a dex to share as well, to go back to this limber body. So from the Emerald dex.
Please.
A Bellsprout's thin and flexible body lets it bend and sway to avoid any attack, however strong it may be. No exaggeration. From its mouth, it leaks a fluid that melts even iron.
Yeah, so that's going to be a recurring theme for this whole family. So this here family.
Is the best Pokemon. This is the best Pokemon.
Number 69, the limber Pokemon.
Can dodge straight up any attack.
What that Pokedex is telling me is basically that a Bellsprout could melt a Steel-type poke.
Yes. Bellsprout mouths can melt Steel Beams.
That's actually all I have for biology, because this whole family is like the most, for lack of a better term, question-inducing family since Diglett, I'm going to say.
This is a weirdo. I will save my thoughts for as we go. I will not get ahead of myself, but I mean, we're already at stick figure plant territory. It's only getting better from here.
All right. I have a couple short things about the game. This is another one of those pokes where it's like, sometimes it's just hard to talk about the basic in terms of the game because you get rid of it kind of quick, or it evolves pretty quick, and nobody really uses
the stats
basic.
Are never much to write home about on a basic. I mean, it's a mixed attacker technically. You know, it has both pretty equal special and physical, but yeah, you're hoping to evolve this thing pretty quickly. And the sprites are upsetting.
I have many notes about the sprites for the second two evolutions.
Yes.
But this family is a blue exclusive, just have to throw that out there. It is kind of the counter to Oddish.
Well, these are the two carnivorous plants. What they've got going on.
As those two families together, they work.
This one I knew, though. That's the only difference. This one I knew was a carnivorous plant. Vileplume, I did not.
Yeah, I knew what a pitcher plant was. I did not know, and continue to not know, because I already forget the actual name of the plant.
I still don't know what that other one was.
As soon as that episode came and went, I'm just going to find a clip of me from that episode talking about the plant it was, and I'll just insert it
right
there.
Right here.
It'll be perfect. This poke is not obtainable in Sword and Shield.
Boo.
I'm not going to lie. Every time...
Come on, this would have made a hilarious 3D transfer.
I think it does make a good 3D transfer. It looks pretty good in like getting into Gen 7 and stuff and in Pokemon Home. Would have loved to see some Bellsprout flowers hanging around in Detective Pikachu, or like got a pet one at home. If you have a pet Bellsprout, does it hang out with you, or do you keep it in a pot?
No, these are cool. These can sit with you.
Actually, they would probably be really good for, like...
It counts as a plant.
I would get a Bellsprout if I lived anywhere near water where there was, like, a bunch of gnats or mosquitoes. This would be awesome.
Perfect. There we go.
It would be super happy, and I wouldn't get bit up all the time.
And I think he's probably just chill. I think he has, like, kind of a Baby Groot vibe if he was hanging out with us in real life.
That's perfect. Yes. I have a thought about it not being a Sword and Shield at every time it appears, but I want to save it for the family as a whole. Instead, I'd rather share an uncomfortable breeding pair.
If you must.
I must. Tropius.
Ooh. I mean...
One wrong step.
I refuse to make a joke about that.
Was the joke involving the flexibility of the Bellsprout or about its Pokedex number?
I guess more related to the number, because I can't even
so
do
the
it.
Shiny
I won't even do it.
For, so the shiny for Bellsprout, last note I have, looks like I forgot to water it.
Yep.
More importantly, I want to hear some info. I know you have some goodies regarding the anime for this poke.
Oh, talk about anime appearances. You may not, well, I guess you
yes,
said...
Yes, I'm hoping that you will.
I guess you didn't watch too much of the show in general. I was going to say a lot of people kind of tapped out around what was the second arc, which is like Orange Island, Indigo League, all of that. Once Ash kind of got all of his badges, he goes into a tournament. And the tournament is Kanto Pokemon League. Ash faces off against a trainer. First of all, this trainer does not have like a cool anime name. Her name is Jeanette Fisher.
Oh my god, it's so boring.
First and last name. This is probably just somebody's friend. He faces...
The main character, Ted Smith.
Yes. He goes up against Jeanette Fisher in the fourth round of the Indigo League. She starts out really strong. She has a Beedrill and she has a Scyther.
Okay. Wow. That's a good team.
Yeah, but Ash actually takes them both out. He's doing really well until he goes up against this Bellsprout. All right. Bellsprout is her kind of third, like, whoops Pokemon. Like, she didn't think it would get this far.
That's the one that she just has on the team to get the experience.
Yeah, it's like a level 5 or something. This thing beats Bulbasaur, and then it deflects Pikachu's attacks by using its legs as lightning rods.
What?
And it does body slam Bulbasaur. This thing is portrayed as being insanely strong. It's like kind of the dark horse of the team is how they basically portray it.
I'm pretty sure a Bellsprout can learn slam in the game.
Oh, and it sure uses one on that Bulbasaur. But it does finally lose to Ash's Muk, which uses body slam, because its attacks just kind of bounce off the disgusting body.
Yeah, I don't know how you defeat a Muk with physical attacks. Doesn't make
any sense. No, you've got to just, like, melt it or something. I don't even know.
It's got to be all special.
Now, I have an especially fun fact, because this is from an anime episode that neither of us would have watched, because this is probably pretty late into Gen 2 arc, maybe even Gen 3. But there is an episode called A Better Pill to Swallow, featuring a dude named Old Man Shuckle that gets medicine from Shuckles. But he does have a Bellsprout too, and we get our first good nickname in the series. This is not...
Oh, okay.
We don't get Belly. We don't get Sprout. I just want you to take one guess at what this thing's nickname is.
Old Bellface.
His Bellsprout's name is Spoopy.
Wait, what?
He's got a Bellsprout named Spoopy. For
That's
real.
That's awesome.
Spoopy the Bellsprout. And it can run fast. It lifts boulders. And I don't know why everybody thinks Bellsprout are like the strongest Pokemon in the game.
That's absolutely amazing. That's a great name.
Oh, yeah. Old Man Shuckle and his Bellsprout Spoopy.
Old Spoopy's at it again. Just burning through somebody's steel Pokemon over there.
Smashing boulders, beating up Bulbasaurs. Yeah, it's the whole thing.
All right. Is there anything else you want to talk about Bellsprout before we discuss a couple cards and move on?
Nah, we can move on to the even goofier ones.
Why don't you start us off for cards this time?
All right, so I tried to go a little off the beaten path, but of course I just went right back to Aquapolis, because this is just a couple of Bellsprouts. Found some apricorns.
Looking around in a forest?
No, there's more than one. This is the one with two Bellsprouts holding apricorns, and they're just kind of making off with them. I don't know what they plan to do with them.
I like the Aquapolis one where it's just like four Bellsprouts looking around aimlessly.
Or where they're just lost. That card got a reprint in Celestial Storm. I didn't know they got reprints.
I saw that. That is a great artwork.
Legends Awakened, we got another kind of balladry song moment. It's striking a pose.
I wrote down Legends Awakened is fabulous.
It really is. It's somehow making a fist, even though it doesn't have hands.
You stole all of the cards I wanted to talk about. The only thing I will say, in all of the card print, this thing is adorable, and I'm really shocked that more people aren't into it.
It's a really great Pokemon. Who knew? Truly, who knew?
We'll get there. Number 70, Weepinbell. It is the Flycatcher Pokemon. Okay. All right. I like this change going from the flower to the Flycatcher. There's literally a fly in this room with me right now, and I really wish I had.
It's too bad you don't have your pet Weepinbell. Yeah.
I was going to say, I need Spoopy here to take care of this thing. So also, in the name itself, Flycatcher Pokemon, boom, insects exist. Sold 100%.
We got them again.
grass and poison type, and it evolves at level 21.
Is that so low? Is that, I feel like that's not bad.
No, that's pretty standard. Yeah, I mean, I think, what, Punchy McGee evolved into Manchoke at 28.
Okay, and that feels a little more on the high side.
So, let's get into some bio info for it. I don't have a million questions for this one. Don't worry.
All right, it's my turn with the questions.
Oh, no, do you have some?
No, I don't actually have a question.
You got me so excited. I do have one, though. This thing is accidentally flying type, right?
Yes, definitely.
The only way it's getting around is flapping those leaves.
This is the strangest Pokemon for me. Like, this thing is so weird. People like to now joke about, like, if you think of just a Pokemon in your head, Poliwhirl is kind of what they think of. I feel like people think of Weepinbell.
Really?
Oh, I think Weepinbell is, like, your typical, like, what the hell is that? Oh, it's a Pokemon. And I think especially, I'm talking 90s though, I think Weepinbell was probably one of the main ones that kind of would make parents be like, I don't like this game. It's too weird.
That thing looks so stupid.
Yeah, like, I don't know what we're looking at here. I don't like this.
This poke is really starting to lean more into the pitcher plant design.
Yes.
But
okay, yes, I will let you say your point. To see if
I will say it's starting to lean into it. It's not all the way there. I think of all the pokes that we've covered at this point, Weepinbell might be the most perfect halfway point between its base and its stage two. This thing is literally,
that's
like
what I'm saying.
If a Bellsprout was turning into a Victory Bell and you were like, hey, stop right there, it would be
if you
a
held B,
melt.
But just for a little bit.
Yeah.
That'll do. No, there's something very recognizable for me about Weepinbell. I don't know what it is. There's just something to it.
I really want to save it for the end when we talk. Right, I want to talk about the Reddit's poll at the end, but you're alone in that.
Good. I knew that I'd be very divisive for this episode. I knew I would.
Yeah. Looking at this thing, I'm kind of right there with you, though. You are preaching to the choir here. I am on your side 100% for this thing. This might be one of my favorite pokes. Like,
I'm not even saying that it's particularly good or imaginative. I'm saying it's just striking. Something about it is very striking for me.
I think that's a good way to put it. Like, you're right. I would never, we're going to be discussing favorite grass Pokemon later. I would never put something from this family
in there. Didn't make the list, but I mean.
But every time, I remember playing Pokemon Go and I didn't see a Bellsprout for a while and one popped up and I was like, oh, hell yeah. I want to be getting like that family. Like, it's great. Every time it pops up in something.
Oh yeah. Its face fully reminds me of a fish. I'm getting like largemouth bass from this Pokemon, and I don't think it was intentional, but it's got a big gaping mouth. It's just what it looks like.
All of the sprites, especially the gold and silver.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah,
they look like, it looks like a fish just screaming and flying through the air.
Gold and silver is insanity. It looks like it has googly eyes. Like, it's not even, the eyes aren't pointing in the right direction.
If you glue googly eyes to a carp and throw it through the air, there you go. There's a wee.
Oh, so
bell.
If Magikarp was a survivor, like a true survivor, and you just yeeted one into the forest, okay, this is, I think, what you'd get.
I just thought of another question for you on the spot, because I have to ask a million questions. Which Pokemon, Magikarp or Weepinbell, more accurately represents every YouTube thumbnail?
That's a really tough question, because for a while I would have thought it was Magikarp, but now I think it's the gold sprite of Weepinbell.
So, like, the ones where they do, like, the team up when they have, you know,
my reaction
channels
to Oops, all Fruity Pebbles, whatever the hell it is.
I have an idea. Let's start the Pokedex Pathfinder's YouTube channel, but it's just going to be nothing but Weepinbell reaction to different trailers or something.
We've got to make a fake promo with Weepinbell doing its face.
Real quick, last thing I wanted to talk about for bio for Weepinbell. I always say Weepinbell. Weepinbell.
I think everybody says Weepinbell. I feel like that's just how it was said. Now I say Weepinbell, but I do think that as kids we said Weepinbell.
I'm just going to say it right now. The names for this whole family are a 10.
Yes.
So good. They're like pun meets portmanteau.
Yes. I'm telling you, somehow, for me, it's Poliwhirl and it's Weepinbell when I think just Pokemans.
You're kind of right, because I'm also going to think like Machop and Abra. We're in like this stretch of, without even realizing it, we are in this stretch of the most Pokemon out there.
Yeah, these are
Is it or
these are the Pokemons?
Is it that, or did we just spend so much time talking about frickin' birds that now we're in like actually distinct and world, not even world building, but distinct things that fit into this fantasy world?
Yeah,
and
I think
so
this
it's
is
just exciting to talk about, not a pigeon.
Yes, and I think that that's the trainer's journey. I think we're supposed to feel this way. The majesty of its gaping mouth.
Maybe this is like what we always talk about. This is that tipping point of like, this is where things really started to get memorable and you felt like you were jumping into a different world. And maybe that's why they're so resounding in their design, this stretch of pokes.
This is at least where you started to feel more individual. Like, obviously everybody can have whatever pokes they want. It kind of becomes, when there was only 150, of course there were duplicates. But like, I feel like if you had an Abra, you felt like you really had something. And even with this, I mean, even if you saw a guy with a Weepin' Bell, you're like, that's the guy with the Weepin' Bell.
Yeah, that's also like getting to a point where this is the point of the game where people don't all have the exact same team.
Exactly. Now we're starting to get, we're starting to get more spicy.
I just have one note for the game real quick, since we already talked about the ridiculous screaming sprites. Normally, with the stone evolving pokes, we always are like, hey, why don't you wait for a little while? This one, not so much.
Yeah, don't even worry about it. Weepin' Bell doesn't care.
It can't learn crap.
It's like, I'm good.
There is one move. I'm strictly speaking early generations because we're... Is there a name for Gen 1ers who also really love Gen 2 and kind of dabble later?
Self-loathing Gen 1ers.
The only thing that it learns that a Victory Bell wouldn't learn is Slam.
Nice.
Which, like, okay, it's good, but it doesn't get a stab bonus. So
let the boys be boys.
All right, what did you want to, anything you wanted to talk about for Weepin' Bell for the anime?
We've got plenty. This one is more short-lived.
How's Spoopy doing?
I mean, unfortunately, Spoopy stays a Spoopy, but we are going to move on to the Weepin' Bell. So James and Team Rocket, this is, again, we're in kind of I keep calling it Gen 1, but it's really like season 1 moving into season 2, and we're starting to see Gen 2 Pokemon introduced. They wanted to switch up the evil teams and also switch up the Pokemon. James and Jesse are still there, but Jesse now uses Lickitung, and James catches a Weepin' Bell. He catches one off-screen, so in episode 57, we just find out that he just has one. He drops it at the breeding center.
Nice.
It does not stay a Weepin' Bell for long. That's what I'll say for now. But during this episode, we also get the new Team Rocket, which are Butch and
Wait,
Cassie.
What is it? Level... Boo.
Yeah, Butch and Cassie. Perfect.
Does this Weepin' Bell level up from, like, boning too much or something?
Oh, you'll find out.
All right. Fair enough.
Wait till we get there. But I...
Too excited.
No, Butch and Cassidy are kind of supposed to be the stronger version of the Team Rocket. They're supposed to be kind of, like, better at being Team Rocket, but they still suck. They still get beat every time. This is pretty cool. This is, I guess, like an Easter egg. In the more recent series, Pokemon Journeys is from 2019, we find out that Butch and Cassidy have both quit Team Rocket.
Did they go clean?
Yes, one of them, they like got out of the mob. They like have stores and stuff. And I don't know. Otherwise, a Weeping Bell beats Ash's Charmeleon in his battle against Erica.
Wow.
Oh,
what
sorry,
a bitch.
Sorry. I said that completely wrong. I just want to root for Weepin' Bell. Hey, Weepin' Bell gets beat very badly by Ash's Charmeleon.
I was so excited. I was going to be like, wow, that would be awesome.
No, we can't all be the Bellsprouts. But Erica does have one in yellow. I mentioned this back with the Vileplume. For whatever reason, in yellow, she has a stronger Weepin' Bell and Gloom. But in red and blue, she has a weaker Victory Bell and Vileplume.
Two cards I wanted to talk about.
I have three first cards. Go ahead. say your cards.
All right, the first one I have is Fire Red and Leaf Green, because it is just straight up puking.
Yeah, that's like really strange looking art, too.
It is like violently throwing up.
Brr, yeah, that thing is going for it.
Not so much about the art, but Battle Styles has an ability that when you play it, the opposing poke is burned and poisoned, and I'm kind of shocked that this whole mechanic never caught on and nobody ever really used it.
Yeah, because that's really good for setting up statuses, and now it's such a thing in the game to have supporter Pokemon like that. It could be on your bench and you could do that. And I actually had that one on my list too, but just because I liked the weird trippy art. It's like surrounded by this crazy garden of flowers.
I mean, it's a good looking card too. That ability was so jarring.
The Legend Maker cards just keep getting better because now we get a googly eyes, cross-eyed Weepin' Bell in enjoying the sunshine. He's just
nice.
Living. Gym Heroes, talk about telling a story within a card. Erica's Weepin' Bell has fallen in love with a regular flower, and it is blushing and has a heart over it.
Yeah, we've all been there, Weepin' Bell. How do plant Pokemon reproduce?
I mean, we got to go with the Pokescience here. They can mate with anything in their egg group.
Do the Vespa queens have to come around and spread the pollen? Are they...
No. When a Weepin' Bell loves a Tropius very much...
And sucks on that steamin and just spreads it all over the place. What?
No,
that's what it's called. It's called a steamin.
Way too scientific. No. You leave them at the breeder and they do whatever they need to do.
Wait, I think it might be called stamen. Number 71, the big boy, Victory Bell. It is the flycatcher Pokemon again. It is grass and poison type again. Hey, this family, no complaints about the poison type.
Yeah, but this should be like one of the only ones. It shouldn't be like the sixth one.
It evolves when exposed to a leaf stone. All right, seriously, I thought growing up
this
things evolved from leveling.
So common now.
What was the last stage two that we did that actually evolved into a stage two by leveling up?
I think
up?
It was literally Beedrill and Butterfree. The ones you catch in the beginning of the game.
The last one we did was the Pidgey line.
All right, yeah, it would make sense. I forget that, yeah.
Outside of the starters, the only things that evolved into a stage two from leveling up have been, like you said, the bugs and Pidgey.
Yes.
Everything else has been trading or a stone to become a stage two.
This thing also clocks in at 5 feet tall, 34 pounds. So could I beat it in a fight? Yes. I could definitely punch this and win.
I don't think you could.
Sure I could. Why not?
I don't think you could. Couple reasons. One, I think this thing, like we were talking about with the muck, it's gonna absorb the blow.
Nah. I think I got
If
it.
You start punching a plant, like if I go outside and just get in a fist fight with the daffodils,
yes.
They're not
they're going
gonna
down.
Like
easy.
Actually, you know what? It wouldn't be like fighting a daffodil. It'd be like fighting like an azalea bush. Like
yeah.
You punch it and it's just going to be like, "What? Stop."
Yeah, exactly. That thing poses no threat to me.
Design standpoint, though, I love the subtle cues. I don't know if subtle cues is the right word, but the little devilish tail thing coming off of it, the way it's just like the vine with the leaf. It has this like little bit of like a demon devil-y look to it.
Yes.
And I think it's just such a nice small design touch that looks so good.
Yes. And now that we've made it to Victory Bell, I can finally say, I do not know why. This is one of those that I have no explanation for, but I always loved Victory Bell as a kid. Not even Bellsprout or Weepin' Bell, specifically Victory Bell. And it's not like I was ever using one. It's not like I even really cared that much, but for some reason, yeah, maybe it is that tail, it's something with the eyes. I just always thought that this looked really cool. It's like an evil plant.
I'm not gonna lie, I really like it now, but I don't think I ever thought about this thing when I was a kid.
Okay, you didn't think about it. I was gonna say, yeah, I thought that my opinion of liking it would be very divisive. I thought that this was gonna be like a brave opinion that I was sharing.
Not divisive on this podcast, but it is divisive.
I'm sure it is with the fans, but I was just all over this. I don't know why.
Not divisive here. I am fully sold on this thing. I love the design of it. Let's talk about some bio real quick.
Yeah, now the design just makes sense. I mean, this is it's a literal pitcher plant, which is very cool.
It's a sentient pitcher plant. If you stopped Weepin' Bell from evolving into a Victory Bell, where would the eyes be?
Well, first of all, it wouldn't be upside down anymore. It would kind of be sideways. I'd like to think it would have full googly eyes. Only one of the eyes would have moved.
I really love the idea. Like, this is the only poke that I can think of off the top of my head where the evolution is kind of just flipping it upside down. Like, not, whoa, it's really flipping it upside down. Like, literally just flipping it upside down. I kind of love it. It's
a
great mechanic for it.
Stick a leaf on top.
It makes it look so different while maintaining that same general design from before. Also, it makes me think of an old Transformers toy. Not one specifically, but just in general.
I thought you were about to give me a specific. Just in general.
Beast Wars.
Ooh, Apetimus Prime. Nice.
No. I'm thinking of...
Apetimus Primal.
Beast Wars Megatron, the Beast Wars yes. Megatron what definitely
where
had
you swivel the T-Rex head off and it's now his hand.
Yes. That wasn't really a flip one, but it was just my favorite, so I wanted to talk about it. Also,
I'll accept it. We're taking it.
Is that the one that had the like helicopter blades on the hips
no,
of the T-Rex?
That is the Velociraptor you're thinking of. I don't remember his name.
Was that Starscream that was the Velociraptor?
Yes, it was the Starscream equivalent for Beast Wars.
God, when was the last time you looked at like a still of Beast Wars?
Unfortunately, somewhat recently, and the graphics are much better to your 90s brain than they are now.
Yeah.
This is even more low budget than you could ever imagine.
Listener, if you were a fan of Beast Wars and haven't looked it up in a long time, do yourself a favor and don't.
Keep it in
never
your memories.
Google it ever.
The toys are still cool, but keep the images in your memories.
The toys are so bad. Yeah, Optimus Primal, that was it.
I mean, they completely missed by not calling it Aptimus Primal, but what can you do?
I'm going to cut like half that.
No, I think we got to leave the whole thing in. But yeah, right, so yes, Victory Bell, somehow Weepin' Bell, when you turn it, it's like it gives it an effect of making it look more powerful. It's something about that we've turned it, we've made it a little bit larger, and all of a sudden it's very formidable looking to me.
The vine appendage has to be super helpful for that thing.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
If you went from just being like a big old shocked tube with googly eyes to like you actually had like a devil tail and could like vine whip stuff and all that, probably really nice for grabbing stuff.
Oh, definitely. And I saw that this where
is it attached?
I don't think it is attached at all. I think it floats.
Yeah, it
appears
like,
to float above the Pokemon. This is one of those, again, where you're not supposed to think too hard. It's just a part of it.
What if it's just like, it just grabbed...
Oh, it just brings it with it, like how...
Yeah, like it's just like a branch that it's like... Oh.
It does have a purpose, though. The leaf covers its mouth, but it flicks this to mimic an animal to attract prey. And that reminds me exactly of an anglerfish.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't even think about that. Yeah,
that's exactly what it reminds me of. The creepiest part about these pokes is that they made them hunters that go out for prey. They're predators. They do not sit and wait. Carnivorous plants usually do.
Yeah, this poke is kind of terrifying the way it's described in the Pokedex.
It's a really scary Pokemon, and they are found in groups and territorial, which will lead into what I talk about later.
I saw like references to them like trapping and storing like large amounts of food, which would be like, you know, small animals. The stomach can dissolve anything and uses an aromatic honey to attract prey, according to the Pokedex.
Creepy. So it's also an opposite of the Vileplume real-life inspiration.
What do you think it smells like?
It's got to smell like honey or perfume, right?
Yeah, I would imagine. Or like a really like potent flower.
Something real good.
But there's also definitely veiled Pokedex references to it eating people.
There's no way that this doesn't eat people.
It definitely
it's sized
eats people.
To eat people, yes.
It eats people. You're sitting here telling me you think you're going to beat this thing in a fist fight.
That doesn't mean it can't trap me. I'm saying if I had to punch it, what's it going to do?
I'm putting my money on the Victory
Bell.
I don't
think so.
I'm sorry. I mean, I'd have your back, but like, I'd also bet against you. This thing feels like a really cool example of a really fine-tuned and highly evolved creature within the Pokemon universe.
Yes.
I feel like this thing is perfectly adapted, like you said, to lure in animals like the anglerfish, but also just the idea of an animal that can disguise itself as a plant and has a way for ensnaring prey would be a perfect evolution for a forest animal.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That would be crazy advantageous.
And something about these Pokemon that the only way I can describe them is like deep jungle Pokemon. There is something about them that seems almost plausible. I could see this being in real life.
Really somewhere deep in the rainforest, like... Yeah, it wouldn't look quite as goofy, but I'm with you. I could see, like...
Yeah, it's just not that far off.
You know what I would expect to see is, like, a large insect that pretends to be a flower to trap other insects. Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's get into some game data for Victory Bell. I feel like we brought it up a little bit here. This thing kind of has crap moves. It can learn some decent TMs, Solar Beam and Giga Drain, but, like,
I always considered this weak in the games. Again, it's never one that I really used. It is still a mixed attacker, but it has such low defenses anyway that it's getting blasted. It's not strong enough to be a glass cannon.
Nothing's really strong. It's got pretty low stats. It did get a little bit of a stat boost in Gen 6, but it, too little, too late.
It almost makes sense as just a giant pitcher plant that it wouldn't be all that strong. It does seem like something that would rely more on being sneaky. You just wouldn't want it on your team if that were the case.
I was thinking about that, and I was like, you would think it would be like a big stun spore and poison powder and all that stuff, but by the time this comes around, or you're having one of these or evolving to get one of them, you probably are already using like a Butterfree for
that. Yeah, if you wanted something with the vibe of a Victory Bell, you'd probably already have it by now.
I mean, I get it. It's version exclusive, you know, Vileplume versus this. The red and blue sprite is doing some beautiful dance moves. They are gorgeous.
I do really like the red and blue sprite.
Also, quick note, the shiny has a blue lip, which I learned in reading through that pitcher plants apparently in real life turn blue around the rim under UV light. I never knew that.
And see, I really like stuff like that. I want all the shinies to have something like that. Some sort of little trivia to them.
You think they did it on purpose?
I mean, I would hope so. You think they came up with that just by chance? I mean, that's good luck if that's what happened. It does look cool.
All right, but seriously, listener, Google image search for a pitcher plant under a UV light. I'm almost thinking I'm going to go out and buy one. So cool.
Oh, as a kid, I had Venus flytraps. I don't know if you can
have...
Did
you really?
Oh, yeah. You used to be able to buy them at Home Depot. I wonder if you could still get pitcher plants. Probably not, but... You could definitely buy Venus flytraps.
Why not? Why couldn't you get a pitcher plant?
I don't know. I don't know if they're rare or not. I really never thought about it.
Also, definitely some like Georgia O'Keeffe vibes.
Oh my God. All right.
All right. Well, what did you want to talk about for the anime for Victory Bell?
All right. So yet again, we have a true power player in the anime and manga world. I am going to...
This family is popping up a lot.
These are stars of the anime, truly. Now, I am going to back it up to the manga, though. So, this is a mild spoiler, since I know you're about to read a little bit of the manga.
I am.
Red encounters in his travels a group of Victory Bell in the Safari Zone. Like you hypothesize, they intend to use him as food for an evolution ritual. So,
oh my God.
Victory Bells gather up a bunch of food, so I guess animals, and also they hoard leaf stones to mass evolve Weepin' Bells into other Victory Bells.
Okay, so Victory Bells confirmed for having a social structure and hierarchy. Got it.
Fully, and it's kind of creepy. So the rest of it, I will allow it to play out. It's pretty cool. I mean, ultimately, Ash has to kind of survive the night.
I am not staying in the woods at night with a Victory Bell.
He did not have much choice, but he does come out victorious.
He comes out
victorious? He comes out victory-bellious, yes. No, moving to the anime, though, James has a Victory Bell in Team Rocket, and this is because that Pokemon he left at the breeding center, they just went ahead and evolved it without asking him, because when he comes back, it just is a Victory Bell, so he now has a Victory Bell as his main Pokemon for the whole Gen 2 arc, maybe even beyond. I'm not quite sure.
That was nice of him.
But I do have a question. Now, sir, you know how most Pokemon
Now you're speaking my language.
You know how most Pokemon tend to say their name when they come out or when they're talking in general?
Yeah.
Do you know what Victory Bell do when they show up?
No.
All right, I'm going to send you a clip that I would like everybody to look at. This is called A Sample of Victory Bell Screams.
Oh, my God! this isn't real!
Victory Bell screams are blood-curdling screams. I don't know why they went with that choice.
This cannot be real.
This is real. Oh, my God. And this is a main character on the show. Keep in mind, this is his primary. So every episode, you'd get one of these.
That has to be done. Like, it literally sounds like...
Oh, well, it's from the English version, so there's probably... It probably sounds different in the Japanese dub, but oh, no, the English one, that is what it sounds like.
It sounds like when people dub the screaming goats into like Taylor Swift songs.
Yes.
That is, we should like share that in the show notes or something, because that is 100% worth the watch, and I am going to watch that frequently.
30 seconds of pure enjoyment.
What
things can we dub over in Pokemon coming out? Like, what would be your favorite thing to see? Like, instead of it screaming, do you want it to, like, yell, like, fuck you, as it's, like, going out or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, custom,
like,
screams. I want to hear one do, like, I don't know, like a Borat, like a very nice, you know?
My wife!
I just want something bad when it comes out.
Anything else you want to talk about for Victory Bell before we talk about the cards and wrap it up for the family?
As I said, Erica has one in red and blue, so it's kind of cool.
Unbroken Bonds is a crazy art style. Probably one of the craziest cards that we have come across at this point, and I thoroughly enjoy it.
It's very weird because we have never seen Victory Bell from that angle.
The angle of a Weepin' Bell, but it's a Victory Bell.
Now it really looks like it's going to get you.
Also, last thing I wanted to say, not a card-specific one again, but a lot of abilities and attacks involving switching opponents on the bench or luring out pokes. Even base set had that. I like it. It makes sense for this poke. I really like when they do attacks and abilities that seem very poke specific.
It just has kind of a relevant move. It kind of adds depth to the story of the game as you're playing the game.
What cards did you have?
Making a sharp turn from that, I have Legend Maker again because it has a trippy flower background. And it just looks like extra cartoony, very...
The flower power Pokemon.
It really is. It's just like, it's just cool. There's no shading. It's just colors. I gotta bring it back to jungle because, again, I don't know why, but I have such a specific memory of pulling this card. Still have the one that I got from the mall. It probably was just one of the first holos I got to just be so wowed by it.
I kind of think the jungle set one is a little underwhelming.
That's what I'm saying. And I looked at it and I was like, no, this is a holo. So it's probably just one of the first holos I ever got. So
I know that's one of those ones where you're like, it's definitely nostalgia because I looked at it and I was like, oh, okay.
There's something.
Reddit's favorite poll. I've been putting it off for a little while.
Here we go.
Where do you think... Give me a ballpark of where you think these fell.
I would think that this is a very unpopular Pokemon. That is just my gut feeling about them.
Shockingly so.
I mean, I think they're just fun in retrospect, but I can't imagine people really caring about them when they came out.
Bellsprout, number 372.
That's not horrible. I mean, it is a basic and it's cute, but...
This family is like, overall, it's the worst one that we've covered so far. The only poke that's done worse than these has been Spearow.
Everybody hates Spearow.
And even Fearow beat all three of these.
All right, now that's sad. Fearow especially nobody likes, and they like it more.
Bellsprout was 372, Weepin' Bell was 540, and Victory Bell was 436. In fairness, if I asked somebody their favorite Pokemon and they told me a Weepin' Bell, I'd be like, what?
Yeah, I'd think it was really weird. But that's my point, is I'm not saying that Weepin' Bell is even good or cool or anything, but it is very recognizable.
Which family do you like more, Bellsprout or Oddish?
You see, that's where I get very controversial, because I've always liked Victory Bell more than Vileplume. Obviously, Vileplume is better, and I do like probably Oddish more than any of them, but there's something about Victory Bell.
I really like Victory Bell, but I think I'd still give the... Vileplume the edge. It's too standout-ish and memorable, but from a design standpoint, I do think that the Bellsprout family has a better design.
Look, Vileplume is better. I'm not going to say it's not better, but there's something deep down that makes me pick the Victory Bell. Cannot describe it. It's got X factor.
After revisiting it and after spending this much time reflecting on it and thinking about it, I could go either way. I'll give you that one, but day-to-day, Vileplume is just more memorable. That's the only thing I'm going to give it the...
Yeah, it's more of a character, because this is like... This is a big cartoon jungle monster. That is what it is to me. It is a jungle monster.
I have a funny feeling that if there was more representation, especially among the cards, there's like no representation of these things in the cards, and they're really kind of getting dropped from the game. But I guarantee if these things had been more prevalent, I'd probably go Victory Bell. I like the design of it more. But it's just not quite as memorable.
There's some pokes that just can't get to that next level for me. Like, just in my mind. Like, Vileplume somehow deserves a V card in my mind. It seems...
I agree.
Stat-wise, it deserves it. But I don't know if you can justify a Victory Bell having a V card. That's just how it is. I could see it being a fun stage two with a cool ability, you know, sitting on the bench. But as far as the cards go, I couldn't justify it.
The lack of impressive stats and it just, it doesn't show up in anything.
No.
It's in the anime a lot, so it's hard to say that.
Because it's got a lot of personality. It's cool, but it's not good. So that's where it stands.
Yeah. Cool, but not good. Like, you know it's crap, but it just...
It sucks. It wouldn't make it onto a team, but it is. It's cool. It's part of Pokemon.
I really think a large part of that is just, like, designs that stood out to you as a kid, and it's like as you got older it's like you kind of realize they're not as great, but it still just meant something to you as a kid.
Yeah, it's a pure nostalgia pick, which is going to be like a lot of these. That's just how it is.
Well, that's all I got for the Bellsprout family.
That's all I've got. So coming up next, we have a hypothetical brought to us by a fan.
Sounds good.
Today, we have a top three brought to us by one of our fans on Instagram, Joshua R. So, for this top three, we are going to rank our top three favorite grass Pokemon.
So, we did this before with Bugpokes. This time, this is the first time we've done a top three with a starter type. And I gotta say, it's kind of hard to do for the starter ones, because most of the memorable...
It does make it very biased.
Grass Pokemon are, you know, usually the ones that stick out are the starters, because they're starters. So I tried to...
Yeah, I tried to go off the beaten path.
I tried to keep it to just one starter, so I do want to put a honorable mention in there for Sceptile.
Nice.
Sceptile's cool, but...
I'm going to be a basic B in mine, but whatever.
I know you know at least one of them.
No, go ahead.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say you can probably guess two, but... Number three at the bottom, I think, will be a curveball for you. And that is Cacturne.
Nice. Cacturne is sweet. I considered Cacturne.
And this thing is really underrepresented and forgotten about, but I love it. And I think it's cool. It's mixed with dark. You know I like any poke that is mixed with dark. Also, this is an example of something that's kind of a humanoid shape, but I like it because it makes sense in-universe with it being like a scarecrow.
Yeah, it's like a scarecrow, but it's out of a cactus. It just works.
And it has great cards. Number two, Obamasnow.
I knew that one was coming. We knew Obamasnow was making it on there.
You know that's one of my favorites. I don't even have an explanation for it. I just love the design.
No, it's just cool.
I think you can guess what number one is.
Yeah, go ahead.
That would be Meganium.
This is the most controversial of all the picks, and yet somehow I've heard it so much that it's not even controversial to me anymore. I will say this is like the most unnecessarily hated card of all time. I can't think of something that has the most like unnecessary hate thrown its way.
What card are you talking about?
No, I said cards, but I just mean like the Pokemon in general.
Oh, at Meganium.
Yes, at Meganium.
It's a dinosaur with a giant flower. What is there not to love, people?
No, it's very cool, and it's very reminiscent of other grass starters anyways, so if you don't like the concept, you might not just like grass pokes.
All right, why don't you hit me with your top three?
All right, I also have a runner-up. It is Pumpkaboo, and it is just because it is spoopy.
I literally thought, I was like, Andy's list is going to be Pumpkaboo, yes. Trevenant, and...
It is just spoopy, so it's in there.
The Bellsprout?
Yes, Bellsprout. next one up, this is kind of a more recent pick for me, but it's Leafeon. I've just kind of grown to love this thing because mainly from playing Arceus.
You are a basic bitch.
I am very basic. So I thought...
I almost put Leafeon on there.
I just thought it was so cool that if you go up to that rock in Arceus, it evolves your Eevee into a Leafeon. I did it, and then it turns out to be a full-on defensive powerhouse, and it's just one of those. I just learned to love it from it just being on the team for so long.
Yeah, that's a great way to, you know, really get into a poke.
This next one is probably... very controversial, because I think people go one way or the other on this one. But this one is Appleton.
Really?
With a big old apple pie on its back. There is just something that I love about this Pokemon so much. This is potentially one of my favorite Pokemon in all of Sword and Shield. I just love kind of the sleepy, dopey look about it. Sometimes food Pokemon work. For me, this one works. It works because it doesn't work.
I really lean Flapple.
Well, that's why you had Sword and I had Shield.
All right. And number one.
Yeah, here it is. Number one is Venusaur. It's just so cool. How could you not? And I am going to be fully basic like that.
I was going to say, a little bit. No, I think you probably had the same issue I did where, like, because, again, both of us picked starters for number one. So don't worry, I'm not going to sit here and throw stones. So many of the memorable grass pokes are starters, and I mean, come on, Venusaur is a great choice.
Look, this thing is for, I mean, this is for my music people out there, but there's a reason that the Fender P-Bass and the Fender Strat are still used by everyone. It's just good.
Yeah, some things are like kind of standard because they deserve to be standard. All right, well, that's going to wrap it up for episode 29, where we talked about Bellsprout, Weepin' Bell, and Victory Bell. God, I love those names.
Who knew after all this time we were missing out on that weird big mouth Billy Bass Weepin' Bell?
Oh, my God. All right. another request for the listeners. Please make the singing.
Big mouth Billy Bass. I think that's what it was.
Please make. I don't care. Good enough. I'll take it. I want one of those, but with a Weepin' Bell. Follow us on TikTok and Instagram. We are at Pokedex Pathfinders. We will post some teasers for upcoming episodes. We will post some fun clips. And sometimes we post stuff about the cards as well and a little bit of everything.
Sometimes.
And feel free to send us an idea for a hypothetical or any thoughts that you've had on the show or your answers to a recent hypothetical. We always love to hear from people who are listening. And if you send us something, we will send you a sticker and we'll give you a shout out on the show too. This week's episode, we had a fan submitted hypothetical. We love it.
That was awesome. So much fun thinking of favorite grass pokes.
Well, that's going to wrap it up. I'm Ben.
And I'm Andy.
And thanks for listening.
See ya.